Good morning, gentlemen. So we are Baruch Hashem at the 22nd meditation in Shaar Cheshvan Nefesh, 22 out of 30. Hopefully we'll finish this soon. And the Chovos Levavos tells us we've spent a lot of time on Bit Adam Lamakom, and now we return to interpersonal relationships. And these cheshbonos don't seem to have any apparent relationship one with the one with the other. There's no progression here. And he says that a person has to give more thought as to how much he needs his friends. The Chavos Levavos is going to bring a point that the highest level of gaiva, of arrogance, is to think that a person can make it through life himself. Nobody can make it through life themselves. If we think that really I can do it on my own, then everything I do for other people is like I'm really a tzaddik. I'm such a good guy. I'm so generous. I'm so fine. I'm such a darling. But it's not shayach. That's not true. The reason why the Torah says v'yahavta recha kamoicha, actually, this really helps to explain the mitzvah. Love your neighbor like yourself. So everybody asks, how can you love your neighbor like yourself? We love ourselves so much. But if you think, if you realize that Hashem set up the world that nobody can live on their own, so our self-love comes from the idea of self-sufficiency. Because we're so arrogant that we think we're so self-sufficient. So it's not just that we're self-centered and we pamper ourselves, but it's that we think we're self-sufficient. So why should I love you so much? You don't deserve it. I worked hard for my money. You're a schlepper. You're lazy. What am I doing this for you for? You don't deserve it. I deserve my money because I'm a great guy. And even if I didn't work so hard for it, but God, I have good luck in the stock market, so I made a killing. I probably deserve it because I'm really better than you. Why should I share money with you? God gave it to me, this windfall $1 million, because God loves me. God has good taste. That's one thing we got to give God credit for. He knows a good thing when he sees it. And, he knows that I'm a superior person, so I deserve money. But you? What do you deserve money for? Why should I share money with you? God gave me the money. I get the windfall, not you. You don't deserve it. So when we start realizing, says the Chovos Levavos, that God created us as a team. So on the one hand, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah, that Lefichach Nivra Adam Yechidi. On the one hand, God didn't make 2 atoms or 10 atoms. It would be nice. God should have made a whole tribe of atoms. The Adams family should have come right out of the tree, and they would have a whole big family. Why didn't God create a bunch of people? Why says Hashem made the world to that person to say to himself, that was worthwhile creating the whole world just for me, and I have a cosmic effect on the entire world, and I'm very important. So Hashem made the idea of one man so that every one of us should take ourselves more seriously. So on the one hand, we should always take ourselves very seriously, which is really important. That's one of the great signs of growing up and being mature, that we realize that we make a tremendous difference. And that b'shvili nivra'alam, the world was created for me, and I really am very important. That's one thing, that's true. But on the other hand, says the Chovos Levavos, he doesn't mention that point, but I'm saying the point, but the Chovos Levavos is emphasizing here a different thing. That man, l'maisa, the world is full of people, and there are 6 billion people, and we all need each other. And the more people there are, so the Gemara says, that even goyim and mitzvah and puruvu, the mitzvah of goyim to have children, because it says a pasuk, I believe it's Yeshaya, loisayu v'ra'a losheves yitzara. God did not make the world to be chaotic. Hashem did not want the world to be a jungle. Lo tohu v'ra'a, the world is not made to be an untamed, uncharted wilderness. Losheves yitzara, the world is made to be cultivated and civilized. So as much as I'm an environmentalist, I love the green mountains, I'm all for open spaces I'm all for redwood forests. I'm all for preserving Harriman Preserve, 100,000 acres, so that you can all take good hikes on Bear Mountain. I'm all for it. And I'm all for not developing anymore in Muncie. And I'm all for stopping all this new development. Let's put a freeze on everything. I don't want any more congestion on 306. I don't want any more problems. I don't want more red lights. I want to see deer in my backyard. I'm all for nature, forests, Jean Muir, Yellowstone parks. I'm all for this stuff. But the Navi says that Hashem didn't make the world to be a forest. That really we should be happier when we see the world being exploited. So therefore, I'm proud to announce that there's been new oil strikes on the North Slope and Prudhoe Bay, and we're going to make new pipelines, and we're not going to be totally on Arab oil anymore, and the price of gas is going to go down, and I'm not worried about an oil spill. Forget the Exxon Valdez. Nebuch. Bad thing to do. We don't like oil spills, but the world is better off being cultivated and exploited, and we got to take every last drop of oil out of the earth. We got to get every little bit of coal out of there, and we got to chop down some more forests, and we got to have some more agricultural land. Everything responsibility, of course, responsibly. The Torah itself says you have to have a migrash around every city. The Torah says every city has to have a green belt around it. Of course you have to have green belts too. And that's part of the life. You can't live without, if you're not going to have the ecosystem, you're not going to have the forest, we're going to die. But the Vadi have to have that too. But on the other hand, we should really rejoice at the spread of civilization. The world was made to be populated, and we shouldn't get ulcers over every new kid that's born, and every minute, every second, the population is exploding. It's fine. It only bring us closer to Mashiach, and all the souls are coming out of Shemayim, and I have no intention of becoming on what they call those, I forgot what they call those fellows who the hard hats that work the oil rigs, is a special name for them. So I have no intention of, I'm all for the new oil finds in Alaska, but I have no intention of moving there. Even though they give you every year a $1,900 rebate automatically just for being alive. So if you can move to Alaska, if mom, you have 10 kids, whatever, you get $2,000 for each kid if you live in Alaska. Just for breathing. The air of Alaska. Great life. Make a colon in Alaska. Get younger life. You get all these benefits and social benefits. Like get a free igloo or something. I don't know. You get, it's great. You get smush, extra horse, extra dogs if you live above a certain level. Alaska is the place to go, you know? That's the first yeshiva in Alaska. I always want to do something the first. Only the first. Nicole, you signing up for my new yeshiva? What? You're the first one. I got the mamash, the best bacher in America. He has to be my yeshiva. Be the first bacher in the upper 50. Lower 48, forget it. So I'm not about to go to Alaska, though. I'm not so sure I'm starting the yeshiva so fast. Maybe Hawaii, but not Alaska. But so I'm happy that there's some guy hard at, some fellow, 6 feet tall, Paul Bunyan Zanical, who's out there developing the land. It's good. And he's my partner, because if I don't have him out there in Alaska, I don't have oil, I don't have gas over here at the local Texaco station. So says the Chavis Levavis, we should love our friends like ourselves, because we should realize that we can't make it on our own. He gives a mashal. He says, imagine, he says, Yitin Latzvacha mashal. You have a mashal. Imagine. You know what people like in this world? People who are going and they're taking a long trip, and the mamash going on, they're conquering the Himalayas. So here we are, we're climbing Mount Everest. Everybody knows you can't climb Mount Everest. I think I told you last week, this year 100 people did it. 3 died. 1 blind man did it. But you can't do it on your own. You have to have a team of Sherpas. It's impossible to climb Mount Everest on your own. So the two people got there first, they just happened to be the last guys up on top of the mountain. But they had a huge support system. They had porters and the Sherpas and everybody else, they had camps. And there was people by with money from the distance. He says, imagine you're going on a high mountain. You're going on an impossible road, a road that's full of pits and full of rocks and full of obstacles. It's impossible to go yourself. And you have to stop at many, many different stops. You have to have many different way stations. And you have many animals, pack animals, loaded with supplies. And it's just, and the people in the, you only have so many people in your party. And everybody has a lot of animals, And everybody at night has to empty the animals. In the morning you have to reload the animals. It's impossible to load these heavy packs on your own. So everybody has to help the other person to unload at night and to load in the morning. And you have to have these supplies. There's no place to get food. And you have to have all these hotels on the way, all these different inns and huts. So everybody gladly, I gladly help you because I know that you're going to gladly help me. And we've got to make the best of it. I don't particularly like you, and you're not exactly the kind of company I really wanted. And I don't like what you smoke, and I don't like what you eat, and I don't like the way you dress, I don't like your language, I don't like a lot of things about you. But hey, you know, I need you. And you know, you need me. You might not like me either. So you know, we can't be so arrogant and say, well, I want to only choose my company, and I got to have just the right people. I don't like that particular guy. And we'll go around the whole room, and I don't like that, no, the beard I don't like on you. Matter of fact, I think you should wear a colored shirt. I don't like those white shirts. And you're a little too short, and I don't know. And I don't particularly care for you, you know? So I'm going to avoid this place, because I don't like you. So I go around the whole room and tell you a million things, but it's an external, so I don't like this about you, that about you, I don't like this. You can possibly everybody up in the whole world. The only way that there's a sense of brotherhood is I need you, and you need me. Which is the second thing. First of all, I feel good that my selfish part makes me feel good that I need you, you're going to help me out. And my generous part says, boy, I'm glad there's people around here. Because it wouldn't be people, I have nobody to help. I like helping people. I like to feel needed. So he says, the Rabbeinu Shlom made it, he says. He says, Amoshal Azet Tilmat Ochi, he says, my dear brother, says the Chavazovers, listen, Hashem made it that the world is too difficult to live on our own. Hashem made it like that. Hashem made it a difficult world. It's impossible for anybody to do it. Yotzerbi Daikove Levni Adam. And the reason why it's so hard to get our basic needs. So I can't be a shoemaker and a tailor and a farmer and a manufacturer and an electronics whiz and a computer manufacturer and a builder of a house, all the same persons. Nobody can do that. It's impossible. Nobody can build his own house and make his own shoes and make his own clothing and be a baker and be a cook and be a dyer of wool. It's impossible. Nobody can. I can't make paint and I can't make light bulbs. It's like I have to have somebody else. So Hashem makes it. So this is really very interesting. Maybe now you understand why. Nowadays, you know, you need so much more to live today than you used to live. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. You go to a store and you realize how many consumer products you need to be happy. I used to be, a couple hundred years ago, you had some bread, you had some butter, and some candles. And if you run around the house, you maybe have, 50 consumer products you need to be happy. You know, there was life once upon no deodorants. There was a world before toothpaste. There was no toothpaste until Mr. Colgate, I guess, invented or something, or Mr. Crest. Well, the guy's name was Mr. Gleam, whatever the guy's name was. And so a guy invented toothpaste. No toothpaste. People didn't have toothpaste. Abraham Lincoln didn't brush his teeth. How do you like that? I don't think it's toothpaste yet. And there was barely some soap and a couple of needles and a comb. And Azoya Ledict, no cars, no this. You know, I mean, yeah, just for your car, cars alone need a whole slew of things just to keep the cars happy. Then to keep our computers happy. And now I have a new dependent. I have my palm pile to keep happy. I have so many things to keep happy. I have to keep my Walkman happy. I have to keep everything happy. CDs happy and the Mixmasters happy. People don't have any of this stuff. You go to the store, how many different products you have to make yourself happy? All different foods and different spices. And just flavors of soda have to contend with. And just the aisle of sodas make it feel so derech from one end of the aisle to the next. How many flavors I have to contend with? Diet and regular and the prices. How many choices I have to make when I go to the supermarket? I avoid supermarkets. So many choices. One supermarket. I need all this stuff. I need all the different things. I need sardines in soy oil, and sardines in olive oil, and sardines in water, because you never can tell. That's what I need tomorrow. So I have to buy all three, just in case. I have to buy borscht with salt and borscht without salt. You never can tell. There's so many things to buy in the food world. There's so many things to buy in the cosmetic world, even for men. And what I need, it's unbelievable what you need. So I think that the corollary is that the more people there are in the world, the Rebbeinu Shlom made it, that we need more things. Like this, we think, hey, you know, I'm self-sufficient. What do I need so many Chinamen for? Who needs a billion Chinese and growing more? I know the answer. Billion seven. 1,700,000,000. Well. I in horror. Not gonna. 1 billion. But I should say Kedai in horror. You know, I know why. I figured it all out. Because I really avoid shopping like the plague. But last week, I went to ShopRite to buy some flowers for Shabbos and some other things that I passed by. And lo and behold, gewalt. I had to buy him, my father, he moved here, I'm buying him a whole new wardrobe. I had to buy him a belt, some belts. I was going to some haberdashery. And lo and behold, in the middle of ShopRite, they sell belts now. Imagine you buy a belt in ShopRite. You buy anything. Now you can buy flowers, buy belts in ShopRite. So you buy a strimal in ShopRite, buy everything in ShopRite. Everything in the world, gewalt, everything they have. I look at the belt, unbelievable, $395. For a real leather belt. I paid a lot more for this belt. I don't have a belt. But I paid a lot more for my last belt when I went to a men's haberdashery store. A lot more, believe me, a lot more. A Jewish one. $395. I bought two to my father. I bought a brown and a black. And I look at the black, hacket, made in China. Oh, thank God for the Chinese. Made in China. It was a good belt. It's not Shanghai, Hong Kong cheap stuff. This is not from Taiwan. This is from mainland China. This is the real Schreira. This is from the people who shoot down our planes. These guys know what they're doing, you know. So I know the Chinese have a tachlis, so I need belts. Hashem made. There should be cheaper belts coming from China. I don't have to buy these expensive belts from Argentina or from the West, which cost $25. Easy $25 a belt. $395. So I like the Chinese now. So I'm happy that we have 1,700,000 Chinese. So the more my needs are, the more Hashem made it, the my needs are more, because the world's a bigger place, so I shouldn't denigrate the Chinese. So Hashem made it that I should have to come on to them. If you make a cheshbon, how many products today come from China? I haven't figured out why there's so many Arabs yet. That I can't figure out. But the Chinese, we have a tachlis. I don't know what we need all these Arabs for. But oil, there must be some good reason for them too. No joke, there has to be a reason. There's a reason for everybody. Can't denigrate Alti Baz L'Chaladam. As we have everybody, unfortunately, if Hashem has designated them to be what's going to whip us into tshuva, so it says, Navi Yishai says, Hoy Ashur Shevet Api. The Assyrians, 2,500 years ago, posed a bigger threat to Eretz Yisrael than the Arabs today. And they did much worse. They exiled the 10 tribes. They tackled the first ones that threw the Jews off of Shomron. And the Navi Yeshaya says, they're just tools in the hands of God. They have a tachlis. Hashem is whipping the 10 tribes for whatever reason he has. And unfortunately, Hashem sometimes has to whip us into shape. There's no just thing. Every human being, everything in the Bria has a tachlis. So he says, therefore, everybody wants in this world what you need. Everybody wants things that other people have too. So he says, this is the biggest mistake. He says, well, we should, if we have a sense that we need everybody, this is the biggest mistake a person can make is that a person should want what someone else has. Essentially, he's recasting the commandment of Los Sachmot. He says, you can be sure that the reason why that person is here in the world is here to help you. When you look at another human being, you have to look at another human being as being a potential ally. And the minute you look at somebody else and say, why does he have that and I don't have that? And you make another person into a competitor, then you have done yourself a big injustice. The way to look at every human being is not a competitor, but an ally on the same team. Because once he says you will want what someone else has and I don't have, and I look at him as being a competitor, as somebody who's taking away what's rightfully mine as a challenger, so then he says the Yisoid. Then he says the Yisoid, you have transformed that person, Taka, into a competitor. Again, it's the custom world. We can make people like this. You think of the custom world, I can fashion plastic and anything I want. I can make it into a toothbrush or I can make it into a tape recorder. No, you can fashion people into everything you want. If I look at every person as an ally, he becomes my ally. And he will help me get what I want and what I need. But the minute I look at the person as a competitor and a challenger and an enemy, and I'm really jealous, I won't admit it, but I see his new car and I say, oh, it's gorgeous, I'm so happy for you. It's really love, oh, why does he have a new car? Why not me? Why? How can he afford such a big car? How did he get such a big house? How can he afford these things? How does he do these things? Afford his kid a house too? What's going on here? How about my kids' houses? What kind of, I'm so jealous. You know, I don't know. He's taking something away from me. You know, I really should have that money. You know, I really want that. So the minute I turn him into a competitor, even though I never told him that, so he becomes a competitor, said the Chavos Levavos, and you will not get from this person what you could get from this person. Not because he even knows. Not, he doesn't even realize it. It's not that you have salvage your relationship, because you're a coward, you wouldn't tell him outright, and it's not nice. So you're going to keep in your heart that you're really jealous. But by looking at him as being a threat to you and a competitor to you, he becomes not a competitor, and the help he might have given you very naturally will not come to you. Pelot gazach. So not if you're jealous of other people, he says, and you really want what they have, so what they have you're certainly not going to get, because that's theirs. But the chiddush is you're not even going to get what you could have gotten. You've lost, you have forfeited what you could have gotten. So, Gevalt Gezach, and they've said all the problems in life come because people want more than they have. If a person would only want what I have, so then it would be fine. So if I go to you and tell you, listen, I need some help with my lawn, or I need some help fixing my car, I need some help in my business, you're an accountant, give me some good advice. Fantastic, I'll give you all the good advice. If I want to use you to help me get what's coming to me, I have a business and I need some good accounting advice. Can't afford a big time Deloitte Touche accountant from the big seven. So, yeah, but you're okay. I can't afford to rent an accountant. Can you give me some free advice? Sure. So Rabbi Hashem made it, that guy should be an accountant. Hashem made it, he has extra time and he likes you. It can help you out with your business. So if I'm using my friend to get what's coming to me in my business, he'll be there to help me. He'll give me more than I even expected. He'll give me some great advice. Mama's fantastic advice. And my business will steig away. But the minute, what I want from my friend is not the advice, because we're embarrassed to ask someone for a freebie. So whatever I have to do, instead of asking for a freebie, I'll be, my business is going sour. Meanwhile, he's getting richer, I'm getting poorer. And all I do is I'm just envious of his house and of his car and his comfortable lifestyle. And he has to work only a couple hours a day and I'm schwitzing away. So if I look at the same person, all I do is envy him, and I don't forgive him what he has, and I don't want to help him. I actually have some good advice how he can make some more money, but I don't want to tell him about it, because I don't forgive him, because I'm jealous, so I haven't helped him. But the truth is, I haven't taken a thing away from him. And me, I haven't gotten from him what I could have gotten. So it's a very sick, maladjusted situation, says the Chavos Levavos. So if you really want something with somebody, ask him. That's what people are here for. People are here to help. But people are so arrogant and people are so uncomfortable, they're afraid to ask the person for help. What is this? No, go fundraising. It's great. Best thing go around. I love fundraising. Sure, I love fundraising. It's wonderful. That's what we're here for, to help each other. I never assume when a guy said, well, people always tell me, if we have a little fundraising, that guy can't afford it, he's committed over here. I said, I don't look for excuses with other people. It's my job to go and ask. If I have a need, or I'm representing other people with a need, I'm going to ask. What they want to say is their business. I've usually been very pleasantly surprised and delighted by people's generous responses. But that's only because if you have a sense of the Chavos Levavos that we are all in a team, and I know that if the person came to me, I would probably give him. I couldn't say no. So if I know I wouldn't say no to him, he's not going to say no to me. He says the problem is, he says, that our attitude towards people is that we want what's not ours. If I want what's mine, I want to fix my house up, I want to make my business better, that's fine. If I want to get your business, that's bad. That is bad. So if a person would be happy essentially with what I have, and I would really care with everybody too, not just me, and I would help you and look for ways to help you, then we'd all get over the tsaras of our lives, we would all be able to overcome the obstacles, and we'd have much, much, much more than we could accomplish on our own. But we have to look at people as friends. It is, and the real truth is, the reason why we hesitate to ask people for money, let's say I'm raising money, why do I need money for myself? The reason why we're ashamed to ask somebody for a loan or help is because I really know that I don't like the guy so much. Because I don't look at him as an ally. Because I look at him as a competitor. So how does the chutzpah go ask my competitor? And he probably feels about me like I feel about him. And I don't care about him, so he probably doesn't care about me. So I'm ashamed to ask him, because why should he doesn't care about me? He's not going to say yes. But if I genuinely looked at my neighbor as being my ally, and I know, I feel like we're a team, so what's the problem? The team has got to be like that. You know, baseball, you got to throw the guy, center field guy catches the ball, if he holds it in his glove, you know, he's not going to have a game. He's got to throw it to first base to get the guy out, to make the double play. If he don't tell us that to the next player, nothing's happening, there's no game. The game is throwing the ball around. So if it's a game and I'm happy to help you, and you, so I have no problem asking you to help me, because we're a team. So the chavos of it's mamish gemalt. The chavos is it's all totally an attitude. It's all totally an attitude. But he said the fact is, he says the uvda is, Nebuch says the chavos of others. Reality is that not only do people not help each other, but they dafke hurt each other and they weaken each other, and everybody tries to stop the other person from getting what he can. And therefore, your friend is building a new, a nice house. So you might make a little anonymous call to the building department and report the fact that he has a couple of violations. They should stop the building. And you know, you don't want to congest the area over here. So you might call that this is not zoned for this. You might master on him. You know, he's not doing such terrible things to you. But you don't want to master on him. So he says, people get in other people's ways. So therefore he says, My good advice to you for the day is, says the Chavos above us, try your best to acquire good, honest, decent friends. Real friends who really love you, who will help you both in the physical world and in the Torah world. And how can you get a good friend that you can trust? Very simple. If you trust him, if in your heart you have pure feelings towards your friend, and you uproot from your heart this jealousy and this desire to hurt him, and you'd really be happy if he lost his money, because then you make yourself feel better. You'd be happy if bad things happen. Look, all bad things happen to me, so I'm glad to share the misery, and misery loves company. So if a person has a little misery, I really, in my heart of hearts, I'm not so sad about it, because this way I'm not the only schlepper who has tzaras. I don't like this. I feel everyone's looking at me. I must be cursed, because I'm the guy with all the tzaras. And other people, everyone has simchas, and I only have tzaras. So if another person had tzaras, I wouldn't feel so bad. No. If you want to have a good friend, so the way is that you really, in your heart, have to have decent feelings, and really want their success, and rejoice over the nachas, and be a good friend. And be a good friend. And the truth is, this is the pshat. Well, this time last week, was it? No. Well, last week we were preparing to learn Rus. And in Rus we have the strange story of Boaz, who has an alter ego, has another name, and that's Ifson. And Ifson, the Gemara Bava Basra says, was a man who had no less than 60, it's interesting, the juxtaposition, he had 60 children, he made 120 vorts and 120 chasnas. And in the end, all of his 60 children died in his lifetime. And his wife too. Everything. Lost it all. The Boaz. Boaz was Zoch in the end to be the Zayd of David HaMelech. Originally was Mamish, one of the cursed people in history. Worse than Eov. We should talk about the Tzaras of Boaz. Ifson. 60 children. Married off already. Nele, sometimes children never fight. It's youthful. Yeah, you don't develop that close. He married them off. He's made two simchas for each child. And they all died in his lifetime. Why? So it's interesting, the juxtaposition. Why was yesterday's Haftorah? Because it's all because of Shimshon's parents. Because to all these simchas, he never invited Shimshon's parents. Manoach and Tzlal Foni. Why did he invite them? Because he said, they have no children. They're sterile mules. This is the Lashon HaGemara. Udna Akrab my parli. They're sterile mules. They have no children. How can they pay me back? I'm going to invite them to all my 60 chasnas. They're not going to invite me to their simchas. They're no simchas. I don't invite them. So his wife, get them off the invitation list. Don't invite Manoach and Tzlal Foni. We don't need these kind of people. They can't return the favor. So therefore she says, oh really? I'll teach you what it means. I'll let you know what it feels like not to have any simchas. And all 60 kids died. Because he didn't invite them to everyone the 60 simchas. That's where all the kids died. Rechmonis, it's gefährlich. So the question really is, though, I mean, come on, are we talking about a savage barbarian? Boaz and his wife wouldn't invite them because they couldn't, they have no children to write them back? So that's Pashup Pshat in the Gemara. But I believe the real Pshat in the Gemara is that they said like this, not the Pshat, they were putting them down, they have no children, they're revised back. They fakir, he was only out of compassion and sensitivity. He's saying, how can I invite these people to 60 simchas, they have no children? They have no children, they can never pay us back. In other words, they'll feel terrible. If we invite them to our simchas, they'll come, they'll feel mamish miserable, because they have no children of their own. And now that they'll feel like, they'll taka feel bad that they can never invite us back. They'll feel like total failures, moochers, terrible. So it's better that we don't like put in their faces and like in their face and make our simcha in front of these poor people. We won't invite them for their sake. That's the real pshat. It was done out of sensitivity. Ah, if that's the pshat, so why are they punished? Sensitivity. The answer is because they made a mistake. Because they underestimated the power of a human heart, especially a Jewish heart. That Jewish heart can really rejoice over somebody else's simcha, even though they'll never have that simcha. So even though Manoach and his wife would never have children at this point, it was a miracle that Shemesh was born in the end. Because we learned the Medrash yesterday, she was taka nakara. Alpi nature, she was sterile. She taka couldn't have children. So it was impossible to have children. Nevertheless, there is within the heart the ability not to be jealous of somebody else. And even though I'll never have that simcha, I can still rejoice over you. And I'm sure we all know people, I have friends, we all have friends who don't have children. And I invite them to my simchas. And the ones who are b'nei madrega, at the simchas I have, they're the biggest mesamchim. And they worked on themselves. It wasn't easy. But they worked on themselves, and they made themselves into Bali Simcha, the Bali Simcha, and they made something out of themselves. So you don't have to be, you don't have to have the same thing. So he says it's possible to misameach. If you want to be mastiach in the world, get yourself good friends, and the way to have good friends is to be a good friend. But he says, this is a fine little caveat, he concludes this meditation saying, have good friends and be really a good friend in your heart of hearts. But one thing don't do. Don't share your secrets so fast. Have a lot of friends, but not your inner secrets. Secrets. This is only for the best of the best of the best, the most tried and true friend. Everybody wants to share a secret. Everyone has deep things that's on their heart. And we love. The greatest pleasure in life really is to share our daigas. And daigas are usually very personal and very secret. But don't, you have a lot of friends. Rule is, if you have 1,000 friends, you don't have one too many. If you have one enemy, it's one too many. So have 1,000 friends, but don't reveal your secrets. He quotes Ben Sira of all things. Our friend Ben Sira, we learned about Chelek. Ben Sira, this apocrypha, which is not part of the Kisvei HaKodesh, but is quoted in the Gemara sometimes. He quotes Ben Sira, says, Rabim Yudarshe Shlomcha, the Gale Sot Chalecha Me'alef. May many people should be your friends and look for your welfare, but reveal your secrets only to 1 in 1,000. And Shlomo HaMelech said, and funny, he quotes Ben Sira before Shlomo HaMelech, but Shlomo HaMelech said, Shemen uktores yisamach leiv, umesek re'eyu meyatzas nafesh. Which means that just like oil, perfumed oil, and ketores, fragrant incense, makes the heart joyful, mesek re'eyu meyatzas nafesh, so too a person has big joy when he shares his secret with his friends. And his friend gives him some good advice, because it's hard to give ourselves to be objective. So he says, as much as perfume makes us feel good, and incense gives us a jolt, makes it like, livens you up, so to mesek re'eyu, if you can share sweet secrets with your friend, and get atzas nafesh, good advice for your soul. You have a soul brother. If you're zayin to a soul brother, a soul sister, who can mamash give you advice for your neshama, and give a balm to our troubled souls, this is the best desach. But one must be very, very prudent in with whom one shares the secrets. You have to be mufchorim, shev mufchorim, very, very careful in your choice, because that is the essence of your being, and one must be careful before he reveals it to everybody else. So Rabbi says, at the end of the 22nd meditation, Rabbi Chaim ben Kasha Amar to Kadosh Baruch Hu Zak and Yisrael, Fichem Bo Atar Mizrish Nemer Nefes Man Sitko Yad Atar V'Yadir.